Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za. You're listening to Kaya Biz.
Kaya Biz.
With Kule Tomfupi. On Kaya 959.
Well, we are talking all things to do with brands. And when I say MTN, First National Bank, ShopRite, what comes to mind? Well, maybe you'll be like, yeah, Gugu, there's a telco provider, there's a retailer, and of course a bank. But it's not just the service that they offer, it's how that these brands specifically speak to you. And this is where we're going to dig deep into the full comprehension of what makes a valuable brand. How do you determine this value? And of course, how do we as consumers interact with brands, especially given that we interface with them in so many different ways, as customers, as stakeholders, as employees, as clients, and maybe just even members of the public who happen to be aware of these existence of these businesses. To tell us more, we join on the line by a legend himself in the world of media and marketing, Jeremy Sampson, Brand Finance Africa Managing Director. Such a pleasure to have you with us, Jeremy, and welcome to the show.
Gugu, always good to be with you, and been enjoying listening to you.
Oh, thank you kindly. Truly appreciate that, Jeremy. And I get excited when we talk about these conversations, right? Because it almost seems as though we need to go back to the drawing board, understanding branding, marketing, and of course, value and all of the perceptions around it. And maybe let's start there before we take a look at the latest outcomes of the most valuable brands. Just educate us again as to what branding is, why it's important, and how its value is determined.
Well, the first thing is to what is a brand? You are a brand as a person. Kaya FM is a brand. South Africa is a brand. Mm. And so all things today are brands and they're brandable. And like all things, they have a value. And by value, I mean a financial value and an emotional value. And when I talk financial, you know, people forget that brands can be bought and sold. If you're driving a Land Rover this evening, Gugu, you know, that has a huge value. And it's a brand that's been sold to various people over the years. But this is where we're talking about often the most influential and the most powerful asset of a company. And lots of companies don't actually know the value of their brands. It's only if they're bought and sold or if they're separated out that they actually realize that full value. So this is where Brand Finance, London-based, around the world, and we're the operation here, working global best practice, using international standards like 10668, which is in brand valuation, and that's the financial value.
Oh, you'll have to educate us on that.
Oh, there are lots of things. how long have you got to do?
Unfortunately, only 12 minutes, but we can try to squeeze it in. And I ask that because you can imagine, we work in media, right? Kaya's a brand, as you mentioned. I'm a brand. The show is a brand. And typically we, you know, would speak to clients and sell airtime by offering them a value. And I'm keen to understand, especially in this world of evolving all platforms, evolving means of getting a brand out there and marketing, if we find that these metrics for actually determining the value of a brand are continuously shifting.
Well, I think sometimes people complain that we're only looking at the big brands when we do these rankings. Mm. And to be honest, the reason is it's because we do it from publicly available material. In other words, usually, not always, but usually the company is listed on a stock exchange, so then we can get access to the figures. If we do a bespoke exercise, then we're dealing with the individual companies and they'll show us their figures. We'll look historically how they've been doing, how they're projecting for the future. And that's the way we can come up with a financial value. But, you know, what we're doing now is so much more than just the financial value. No, we can actually comparing the sector. So in your case, you know, who are your competitors? Who are your competitive set? How are they doing? Are they stealing a march on you? Or do people prefer yourselves? And why do they prefer? So often when we do this exercise, it's almost like a brand audit. Mm. We're guiding on the levers they can pull to improve their position and gain an edge on the competition. So all sorts of complexities there.
Understood. And it makes sense why you actually mention the bigger brands, because they have the presence, they have the brand identity, capital as well that is required for the necessary investment in order to enhance their visibility, and as a result are easier to measure from that perspective. I am intrigued though, and there's four South African brands that I do want us to tap into. MTN, the most valuable South African brand, followed by Vodacom, then Standard Bank. Help us understand how this was evaluated.
Basically, when you look at the brand, you look, as I say, at the financial value. You look at the size of its footprint. In the case of MTN, of course, it's 20-odd countries, and it's not just in Africa. It's in the Middle East. In fact, it's in some very interesting areas at the moment, which we're reading about and seeing on our television sets. But it's got a broad footprint. One of the reasons it's actually gone down a little bit this year is one of those countries is Nigeria. Mm. And brand value, as you would understand, is linked to the currency of the country.
Yep.
And also, how is that currency linked largely to the US dollar? And in Nigeria, the Naira in the last 12 months has dropped over 30%, which I'm afraid is the main reason. But also, when you look at global best practice, where are the risk areas? And a lot of the world still thinks of Africa as being a bit of a risky area, and that pushes down the values as well. So that means, in fact, if international companies are looking at the assets, looking at the brands of South Africa, if they're paying in hard currency, those assets are actually pretty cheap at the moment. And this is where we find that often when you have a brand in your country and it's doing particularly well, often people from overseas swoop in and buy it out. After all, look at Pepsi coming in and buying Pioneer Foods. One forgets this sort of thing. And then they bring their own muscle and their knowledge, both in marketing and their deep pockets financially, as you've alluded to. And then they help those brands, often keeping them as South African brands or whatever. But behind that South African brand is a big brother, if I can put it that way.
100%. And I think this is very important, as you mentioned, because it comes with almost the communities, the environments, the spaces that these brands might be associated with within the Ejimate of Nigeria. Nando's, from what I see, has entered the ranking for the first time as the fourth most valuable brand. And I would have thought that their brand would constantly feature on this list, because in terms of consumer identification and partnership and even the jokes they make in their marketing campaigns, one would assume that that would add to the value of the brand. But help us understand what has led to them cracking the list for the first time.
Well, Gugu, if you had a long memory, and I think you're much too young to have that memory, you'd have remembered that in 1987, Nando's was started. Mm-hmm. 1987, it's that long ago. It gathered very good momentum, and they decided to list. Where do you list if you want money? Onto the stock exchange. So onto the JSE they went, and they didn't like it. They found that having to report quarterly, having to answer to analysts, etc., they said, we don't need this. So they delisted. And that's the problem, that how do you get hold of their figures? As I was mentioning earlier, companies that are listed on stock exchanges, you can get the figures at least twice a year, if not quarterly. Whereas in the case of Nando's, it went silent. And we couldn't see the figures. And you know, people kept on saying, why aren't you featuring Nando's? Well, the reason is we couldn't see the figures. And I think it was about 6 months ago, one of my colleagues was digging around in company's house in London. Because remember, Nando's is actually bigger financially in Europe and the UK than it is in South Africa now. But they came across the figures, and it was almost accidental. We've been speaking to Nando's for ages, saying, can't you share your figures? And always they said, no, we're very private. But having got the figures, we decided to keep going. And out of that, you can see the valuation. And there it is, South Africa's fourth most valuable brand.
Interesting. So it seems like you struck gold then by stumbling over the numbers. I'm glad
you did. But it's very frustrating. It's very frustrating when you have a major brand, but you can't put it onto your rankings because you can't have access to the data. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you would understand that.
Oh, definitely. Completely agree with you that it does add to the growth of the numbers. One entity that has been very vocal about sharing its numbers, so much so that last I spoke to the CEO on the company results, we found out that they have enough cash to actually buy out the full market share of one of their closest competitors, Pick n Pay. And that's ShopRite. 139 billion rand in terms of their market cap. So deep pockets, lots of numbers, and I'm sure intriguing data for you to go through. It also has a very broad portfolio, very intriguing, because in order for this brand to be relevant to the different income segments it speaks to, there must be a unique positioning that they also have applied there that's been effective.
Oh, look, you're making lots of great points there. And this is where people are still a little bit confused sometimes between ShopRite and Checkers.
Yes.
But if you also look at the fastest rising brands in our rankings, number one is YouSave. And I think number two or three is OK Furniture. Now, these are all part of the ShopRite Checkers group. And if you add the value of those four brands together, in fact, they come in as the third most valuable branding group in the country immediately after the telcos. So as you are rightly saying, ShopRite Checkers as a group is doing incredibly well. It's on an absolute run at the moment. And as you say, it caters really for all sectors of the community. It's gone upmarket, which is eroding Woolworths. Mm-hmm. It's killing Pick and Pay in many areas. And it's striding along in a very strong run at the moment.
Fantastic. And I think this is so intriguing because then it helps us understand the kind of investment these businesses make in order to see this brand value. When it comes to banks, First National Bank, I understand, has become the strongest South African brand. If I'm not mistaken, haven't they featured previously on the list consistently so before? And is there, I guess, something in the secret sauce here, Jeremy?
Well, again, you're spot on. It's been, I think this year is the first time it's got to number one in brand strength, but it's been lurking there and it's been edging up all the time. So I think last year it was probably number two or number three, and before that it was sitting there as well. So there's a momentum which they've got, there's a consistency in their marketing, and you know, when you look at brand strength, that's all sorts of things that are non-financial. So it's reputation, what it's doing in the communities, what it's doing when it comes to sustainability and the environment, all these softer aspects, as it were, and they're going very, very strongly. Mm. Also, it's worth mentioning that in brand strength, amongst the global rankings, FNB was, I think, number one last year.
Sure.
This year, it slipped to about number four, and Capitec is quite close as well on brand strength, both of them doing extremely well. But we were a bit surprised this year to see that they were beaten, or at least FNB was, by Equity Bank in Kenya. And it's interesting that, you know, this whole debate about brand strength and reputation, but certainly the consistency that FNB is bringing to bear is very, very powerful.
Hmm. That's so intriguing that, again, there's a competition and wonderful dynamism that's happening there. I'm keen to understand how important it is for, I guess, brands and the relevance of brands to be related related to the relationship of the chief marketing officer and the chief financial officer. This typically comes up as a debate that I'm sure you've participated in very actively, Jeremy, around the size and quantum of the investment and how that does speak to cultivating brand value.
You're raising a very, very good point, Gugu. Yes, in some companies, it's almost adversarial. In brand finance, we have a tagline, if I can call it that, bridging the gap between marketing and finance.
Mm.
Now, in a lot of cases, there's no gap. Now, people realize that you've got to work together as a team, especially in the fast-moving consumer goods fields. But in some other companies, sometimes there is a little bit of, should we say, friction. One of the areas, of course, is sometimes the size of the financial implications of the marketing budget. And one of the things we're finding at the moment is increasingly companies are coming to us and saying, hey, come on, we want to know what our return on marketing investment is. Are we spending the money in the right way?
Mm.
Should it be sponsorship or should it be more into internal comms or whatever? So it's the efficiency and the effectiveness of that marketing budget. And more companies are saying, right, we want to track it. And it's the old thing, you know, if you can't measure it, you can't treasure it.
Yep.
And for a long time, I think people have thought marketing has been a little bit of a black hole. But now that they're seeing, you know, when I say they, the executive, that often the brand is the most important asset, as I mentioned earlier, they're getting much more interested in measuring it and monitoring it and tracking it. and also seeing what the competition is doing.
An intriguing question here, Jeremy. These institutions have been around for quite some time, some perhaps in the last 30, maybe 40 years. And there's also other brands and institutions who have been in the industry and market for centuries, really, or at least a century. I'm keen to understand if brand presence does translate into brand value based on longevity. I'm keen to understand, just because you've been in the game as a brand and a financial institution for decades on end, does that automatically translate into longevity and sustainability of your brand value?
Whoa, again, I've got to say, how long have you got? Because, you know, when you look at Capitec, it's been around, what, 21, 22, 23 years. And perhaps it didn't have the baggage of history, and it's come through incredibly strongly, and a lot of people will say that they love its simplicity. Other brands that have been around a long, long time are having to clean out the old ways. You know, all of us as individuals have to almost create space in our brain to start absorbing things about technology and AI and all the new things that are coming along, because if you don't stay relevant, it's like a brand, like a person. You've got to keep up to speed. You've got to stay relevant. Otherwise, you become old hat. And this is one of the big, big challenges. So I would say history and heritage are no guarantee. I remember a certain CEO moving into what was, I think it was Stellenbosch Farmers Winery, which became Distell. And I was talking to him and doing some work with him. And he said, we have too many heritage brands. That's what he called them. There's lots of heritage there, but they don't make me money. And this is where Distell came along with new brands like Savannah and Hunters, which are very, well, relatively very new. And those are the two that really make the money for Distell, which, of course, now is part of Heineken.
So interesting. So sometimes skin in the game doesn't always work to your advantage unless you actually evolve and speak to the audience and the climate that you're addressing at the moment. Jeremy, goodness, I'm so intrigued. But I guess as a consumer, because I understand from a C-suite point of view what brand managers and marketing managers need to prioritize, how media houses also need to respond and platforms in terms of the changing structure. But help me understand as a consumer what it is that typically influences my behavior to find attraction to a brand or to heighten the value of a brand.
Look, sometimes we talk about the marketing funnel where, you know, you're aware of lots of brands, but many of them you will have never used. So you're aware of them, but are you familiar with them? Do you know what they do? And then would but people aren't considering them because there are perhaps other brands in the same sector they prefer. You know, at the moment, when you actually look at, for instance, something like perhaps sports shoes, are you into Nike or is it Puma, Adidas or whatever? It's incredibly competitive. And also, of course, brands have bragging rights. Now, if you walk into a meeting wearing a nice new pair of, should we say, Pumas, that creates a different impression from one of the other brands. I've left out a lot of other brands as well. So brands create bragging rights, right? They are part of your persona. You know, what brands are you wearing tonight, Gugu? You know, and they say things about you. And, you know, what you're wearing, perhaps if you're having a casual session, if you're staying at home, or if you're going to a function, or if you're up on stage. So all these things are part of how you present yourself and project yourself. So this is where brands sometimes have a huge influence on our lives. And sometimes we're not even realizing.
So true. Next time I look around my colleagues and I look at the phones, the laptop devices they're using, the clothes, the sneakers they wear, I'll do so with a lot more of an appreciation and maybe just a sneak peek into their psychology to understand how which brands they favor. Jeremy, always a pleasure speaking to you, sir. Thank you so much. I'm thoroughly enlightened by this conversation.
Gugu, I've thoroughly enjoyed it. Thank you very much, and thank you to your listeners.
Thank you. That's Jeremy Sampson, legend when it comes to all things to do with branding and understanding the various nuances of brands and marketing. He's Managing Director of Brand Finance Africa, joining us this evening to help us unpack some of the most valuable brands in South Africa. MTN takes the crown, followed by Vodacom and Standard Bank, but there are a few favorites who also feature there: ShopRite, Nando's, and First National Bank. It's exactly 7:30. You're listening to Kaya Biz.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.